Yesterday, Amy and I were spending some time praying and talking about our lives in the church, where we are, and the fact that we really do feel like we're in a new season, that the old is passing by, and we are transitioning into a new season for the church. And I believe we're transitioning at 31 years, 4 days into even a new season in our marriage. And I want that cluster of grapes in my new season. Amen. That we have fullness of fruit, and that circumstances would not cause us to accept mediocrity and to envision our lives with getting by. I'm talking about fruitfulness in ministry to the King. I'm not talking about just your checking account. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about that when you look at your life, you're that cluster of grapes that people all around you are blessed because you're on planet Earth. It says that when David had served his generation well, he went to heaven. And I don't want any of us here today at the River to accept a position of getting by or trying to make it. I've lived too long like that, where there was a time, and actually not too long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, where I felt, I hope it didn't come across in the sermons, in the messages, because I really believe that most of the time we do speak the word of the Lord without, you know, a pity party coming from us on that word or whatever we're going through individually. As a minister, we go through things too. Did you guys know that? So I had dropped down into, never said one word out of my mouth, but the thought was in my mind, you know, just survive. But when you're going through a desert, you're not thinking about big visionary projects. Some of you guys are. Art, I know we talk a lot about that. Art can't tell wilderness from paradise. He just, he's the same, you know. It's a great day. Valley of dry bones. It's a great day. But vision can be taken from you, and expectation can be taken from you, and you can be robbed of really stretching your faith out to believe for the best. It says that when the word of the Lord came to Israel from Moses in Exodus 6:9, it says they hearkened not to the voice of Moses, because of cruel bondage and hardness of heart. And they were in a season of slavery for 212 years of slavery, 400 years in Egypt, but over two centuries they were slaves, Israel, God's people. And when you live that long in that condition, without really fighting it, your mentality will be brought down to the level of your circumstance many times. And you will be in a survival mode. God does not plan, He did not plan for you and I to live in survival mode. And so, you know, we were talking a lot yesterday because we are so excited about the new season that the River Family Church is in. We've had some great seasons, and we've had a couple crummy seasons. But overall, Amy and I, we've been so blessed. We've had a lot of good seasons, but there's something in us that's yearning for more, a greater, you know, carbon footprint of affecting the earth. That how big is your carbon footprint, guys? You know, in the natural, the global warming crowd and climate, whatever it is, you know, we got to eliminate our carbon footprint. I want to make a bigger footprint. How many of you want to just be Sasquatch as you're walking, you know? Did you guys see that article where the lady blamed Sasquatch for the deer that hit her car? It was a complicated story. You can look it up on Google. Really complicated story, but true story. But so the question this morning, because we're going to talk about this for the next few weeks, is there really a new season? Is this Christian knees? Is this things we kind of talk about back and forth and encourage ourselves, but does God want a new season for each one of us? Do you believe that individually there's a new season for you? something new from the Lord. And that he wants it in this lifetime, not when you get to heaven. And so Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Okay, so God's a creator and he creates everything. He, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created everything. And that means that everything he created to have its own season. Everything. And are you a thing? Are you part of that everything? Then God created you to have a season. Something that makes up this season that's new, that's got a number of factors in it and things in it that are clearly God's hand on your life. And we can talk about that in these weeks to come. What really is a divine season? Because there's seasons and then there's divine seasons. I believe that God has ordained a time and opportunity for each of us. Ecclesiastes 9 says, 9:11, for time and chance comes to every man. It's not to him who runs or him to, but time and chance and opportunity will come to each one of us. Okay? And so I believe, and I preach this strong, that every person has a purpose, a unique purpose. But to convince ourselves that God took the time to figure out a unique purpose for us. I mean, you know, the devil beats us down with these thoughts that, you know, God's all really not that interested in me personally. He globally loves mankind. He's got his favorites. But me, knucklehead me, I'm just, you know, me who's failed so many times, me that stumbled, me that I don't even know if I really love God that much. There's a lot of people, honey, that don't have a passion, a deep heart passion to connect with the purpose that they were made for, because I don't think they really think that God made them for a unique purpose. Or maybe I do have a unique purpose, but I got so many issues in my life trying to keep my family fed, the bills paid, and you're talking to me about some kind of purpose? I'm just trying to, again, survive. It's circumstances can rob us to where when you hear this word that God wants you to go into a land flowing with milk and honey, you shut down because of hardness, heart, and cruel bondage of the circumstance. And so the high bar of God's dream for your life is day by day, month by month, year by year, whittled down to where you can step over with an easy, just lift your foot, leg up a foot and step over. The bar is so low of what God can do with you. Guys, best days ahead. I'm telling you, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But he speaks to us. And he speaks to us with pastors, and he speaks to us with books. He speaks to us in visions and dreams. He is constantly, God is speaking to you right now. He believes that in his plan for your life, he's never going to give up on what God called you to do and to be. Never. Who knows that verse, by the way? Romans, the gifts and calling of God are without, he does not change his mind. And that's really important that we understand that even where we are today, do you think that there was a thought with Elizabeth, Zachariah and Elizabeth, that they weren't going to have a season of childbirth? You know, I mean, when everybody calls you barren, remember what the angel said to Mary? Even Elizabeth, the one whom they call barren, is pregnant. And so that blew them away, that at their old age, they could produce a champion that would Jesus called John the greatest Old Testament saint. There was no one like John at all. And that was produced by a couple that was past the age of childbearing. Just for a moment. Could God give you a new season even at this age in your life or this position or at whatever the place you are or the things that you've done or not done? Could God give you a new season? Could God do something in you that at this point where His glory could be seen on your face? Isaiah 60, arise and shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen. Could God come into your life? Maybe you were at one time a strong tree, but you got cut down somehow. And now there's nothing left but a stump in the earth. And even that is rotten. How many of you think that if that represented a person, we can just say, you need to go to heaven? Because we've had that said about people in here. They're a rotten stump. Take them to heaven. But Job 14, 7, 9 says that there's hope. There is hope for a tree. That even if it is cut off at the stump, and the root, the stump is even grows rotten. Yet at the scent of the water of life, I add life, yet at the scent of water, it will sprout again. There is hope. And you might as well go and, when you say the word hope, go ahead and put in there, it means new season. There is a new season for that dead tree. Because is it still called today? The promise remains. You know, we went to see Peter Dooley on Friday night, this 87-year-old atheist. And how long has he been near, like, not comatose, but out of at least a year? I think you said a couple years, that his daughter has not had a decent conversation with her father. He's in one of these homes, you know, and, you know, he's laying there. Not having a conversation. But the daughter begins to pray for that dead tree with just a stump left. An 87-year-old atheist laying there comatose for a couple of years, just about. Not comatose, but not able to have a conversation with. Well, you know, so this lady is Emily's customer who's just, I don't know how, Amy, you found out about it, but Amy somehow gets attached to Emily's customer in her business, and they begin to talk, and then Amy gets a desire to pray and begins to share with me about this guy. And now I can't stop thinking about this 87-year-old atheist. And so we bring it, you know, to the couple's connect group, and we're praying in the couple. All because that woman, that young 40-something-year-old daughter, is now 3 days praying and fasting. Do you think God hears prayer? And so somehow, it's cracking me up somehow, we're over at that place Friday night for an hour and a half talking to this 87-year-old man about the starting lineup in 1962 for the St. Louis Cardinals. Tim McGarver catching, Bob Gibson pitching, Bill White on first, Julian Javier on second, Dow Maxwell on short, Mike Shannon on third, Kurt Flood, he was right there with me. We were laughing. I'm thinking to myself, Amy told me, you know, his condition. I'm thinking, they got the wrong, are we in the right room? And then I began to talk to him about the 100 trillion cells in his body and 6 feet of DNA times 100 trillion cells. And that gives you, what's in you, Peter, can go to the sun and back, which is 186 million mile round trip, 200 times. You guys don't even put up with that when I tell you. I know, because I'm always telling you these weird scientific facts. And he was dialed in. He was dialed in, and that man who, and we found out that the daughter was shocked that he even had a conversation with us, really. And we had the best conversation for an hour and a half. Amy's going to bake some cookies, and we're going back this afternoon to pick up on quantum mechanics with the guy. God and quantum mechanics. You don't know what God can do if you don't give up and you pray and you believe that there is a God who can resurrect and give hope and give life and cause us and the best of us to come out. So, do you believe this today, Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season? Then take it to yourself personally. That means there's a season for you. And a season is not just the four seasons, but the four physical seasons are spiritual. If there ever was a clear picture of what seasons of God look like, the natural four seasons, they are clearly working in your life and my life right now. And so for some of you that are in the dead season of winter, you need that season to let go of some things because spring is coming forth. Amen. So, you know, here is a great scripture this morning out of Song of Solomon. I want to give you guys hope today that there is a new season for you. And it says, the voice of my beloved, who would that be? That's Jesus. In Song of Solomon, the beloved is Jesus. The voice of my beloved is speaking. I hear the voice of my beloved. How many of you know that right now we're living in a unique time on the earth? I believe with all my heart that God's moving in this new season for the church globally is coming forth. And I believe this is a new season for the river. I believe this. It's a new season. I hear the voice of my beloved speaking to me about my life. And I am so encouraged that he didn't give up on me. How many of you are glad that that even when you're faithless, he remains faithful? Behold, he comes. The voice of my beloved, I can hear it. And I hear him saying, he's at the door. He's coming. We're going to see the king's face real soon. Can you just for a moment close your eyes and envision what the king's face, that you're eye to eye looking at King Jesus. He's coming soon. Behold, he comes. Leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. Church family, this morning, the very mountains in your life, our Savior is so awesome, he leaps over it. And he can skip over your circumstances with the greatest of ease. His power is limitless. One Almighty God is more than many mountains and hills in your life. He's leaping and skipping over those obstacles to come to us today. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. And it's unfortunate that that's where the church is at so much of the time, that our Savior is still so, because of our lattice work and the windows and the walls in our life, that we have these things built up. It's too late. It's the walls and barriers of unbelief. But he still is speaking through all those obstacles. And he comes to us, and it says in verse 10, my beloved spoke and said to me. How many of you can say today that you know God in the last year has spoken to you and said something to you directly? If you have not heard the voice of God in the last 12 months, in the last 6 months, we ought to be hearing today if you hear his voice. Hebrews 3 says today if you hear his voice. Can we just stop right now and ask God to speak to us clearly again that we would be able to hear Isaiah 31:20 or 30:21. You will hear a voice. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. We should be able to hear God about our life, about our family, about our church, about our mission, our purpose, our destiny. And it says, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. It's a new season. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs. It goes on to say, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. If you could lift your hands with me and tell the Lord these words that you are listening for his voice, your beloved's voice, and you are going to listen and obey and believe and not limit God, not limit the Holy One of Israel and stay in an old season, a dead season, a winter season when he's got a new season for you. He's got a new opportunity for you. Lord, we thank you today for those new things that are springing forth. See, Isaiah 43, if we can go to Isaiah 43, I want to show you this. In Isaiah 43, starting in verse 18. Well, go to verse 16. No, go to verse 15. You know, that's how the Word of the Lord, you just think you got all the Word for you need, then you see, oh my gosh, you need that verse too, and that one. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I love any verse that deals with God as my Creator. I love God as Creator. And the Bible tells us, do not forget your Creator. Remember in your youth your Creator. And it goes on, a lot of great verses about God being Creator. And he says in verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Okay. So he's talking about what in Isaiah here? What is Isaiah talking about when it says that he makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters? Who wants to take a guess? Red Sea, guys. That was pretty simple, right? So the Red Sea is what he's talking about. Now, when you got miracles, we've all seen, by the way, the latest Ten Commandments, that was pretty weak. It came out in the movies, but, you know, the famous one, Cecil B. DeMille, the part, you know, the Ten Commandments when the Red Sea parted. How young were you when you first saw that picture? 1956. So we got our first color TV set in 1963, I think, and 64, something like that. And I'll never forget Charlton Heston with that rod stretching it out, and those waters parted. How many can remember that? I mean, it tattooed my brain. And I mean, that was the coolest miracle. I mean, who doesn't want to believe in God when you see a God that can do that, man? He parted the Red Sea. Is there a greater miracle than parting the Red Sea and taking 2 to 3 million people across? And it says they came out in a mixed multitude, so there were some knuckleheads in the bunch, and he still got them across. He got some complainers across. Got some, you know, not everybody going across was Moses. I mean, there was a mixed bag there. But he did it, and it's a huge miracle. It's a great miracle. But this word, because God's wanting to bring his people into a new season, you can be holding on to what God did do and magnifying that as a history lesson, and saying, well, this is how God moved, and this is, you know, the best. That's how denominations form. God is always wanting to move, and denominations form around in a move that God did do. But God wants to do something new. He wants to manifest some new things. I told Amy 20 years ago, whatever the template of what we see as church now, it's not going to be. I don't see the way we do church now as the ultimate model of what church could be. Do you think when 90% of the pastors would get another job if they could have a good income? That's the stats, unfortunately. I don't want to depress anybody. I'm one of the 10%. I'm hanging in there. But if I could go be the chaplain for the New Orleans Saints, I would have to consider the move. I would have to consider. Amy said, you have a long-distance relationship with me. I'll be commuting. But look what he says in verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So here's what is so awesome. God's saying, I got new things. And whatever great things I've ever done in your life, don't get hung up on that. Stop right there with me, because that's just the beginning of what I can do in you. I parted the Red Sea for you. I can do much more than that, and I will do much more than that. I must do much more than that because I have a purpose for you that didn't stop at the Red Sea. You need to have a road to be able to go through the wilderness, a river through the wilderness. He says, I'll make a road through the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Do you know that God, when He brought His people after the Red Sea, when He took them through the desert, He literally caused a river to come up, a full river, and that river went for miles and miles and miles, and no one knows how long. That river of provision, that river of purpose, God knew that His people could not stop at the Red Sea, that He needed to be able to provide. And this is not a message about just financial provision at all. It's a message, but that's included. But this new season, He must do something with you. And if He's going to do something with you in this new season, then He's going to do things that are unbelievably big in your life. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. So, you know, we're building a waterfall out at the gardens. And our waterfall is 42 feet wide by 20 feet tall. And I think it's the biggest waterfall in San Diego County when it's done. And I just want to let you know that I'm not trying to have the biggest waterfall. Remember Jack Coe? Some of you might know Jack Coe. Jack Coe was a character. He was a 350-pound healing evangelist in the 40s. And his big advertisement for his healing crusades was biggest tent on earth, you know. And there was one of the other healing evangelists. They got a bigger tent than his. He went out and got another tent, 1 foot, had one chair more. Jack left the earth at 38 years old, so. But he was truly in a flow there for a while. But no, I'm not trying to build the biggest waterfall because we got to have the biggest waterfall. We have to have that size for the freeway and the 18-wheelers that drive by because we don't want to look at those while we're in our venue. But I was thinking about the glory of God. You know, God, that water feature, the waterfall represents in our 12 water gardens that we're building out inside the venue, the gardens at the river. That's number 6 of the revelations of God and Christ, God's great love. And you can't have a little waterfall representing God's great love. You got to go big when you go with God, okay? And so this new season, God's got some big things for us. Don't limit Him. Don't look back at what He did do and say that's the best that God can do, or that you don't think that He can do any more in your life because of where you are. Now listen to some of these. What's that? Thank you, Ames. Because we were talking about this. You know, I was going to actually preach a text out of Joshua 1. By the way, Joshua's parents were Nun. Joshua, who was the son of Nun. And it says that God speaks to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's you, buddy. You guys got to let go of Moses and embrace Joshua and the new. Okay. But also, it's not just letting go of the good things, but Samuel's mourning over King Saul. Remember it in 1 Samuel 15? 1 Samuel 16:1, God shows up and says, Samuel, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? Fill your horn with oil and go. For I am sending you to anoint Jesse's son to be king. So real quickly, you have to go into your new season because that's where the assignment is. God has an assignment. We have to think this way. We're not waiting for the rapture. The bride is making herself ready, and you and I have to help do that. You're part of the bride, and so you got to make yourself ready. There is no hanging out in limbo, guys. You know, you can do that for a while, but look, even when God takes you aside for rest, you better be prepared to minister to 5,000 hungry men and 10,000 hungry women and children, because that's exactly what happened with the apostles. is that even on our down seasons, you're going to be surprised that God still, that there's so much ministry. This world needs a body of Christ that's full of energy and active and vigorous and not going through the motions in what ministry. The day is upon us. The King is coming soon. I am telling you that right now He is saying to us that He's about to do something new. In the New English Version, it says, "Look, I'm about to do something new." Is anybody here today, you're excited about God doing something new? Now it begins to happen. Do you not recognize it? Yes, I will make a road in your desert, paths in your wilderness. I love the Living Bible here, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? I will make, and listen, you need to know right now where you are at. One of the ways you know if you're in a good place, if you can see what God's doing. And if you can't see what God's doing, then you must be willing to get up from where you are and say, "God, I'm not seeing anything. God, will you open my eyes to behold wondrous things in your word and in what you're doing in the earth today? Holy Spirit, walk with me. I give you my life today. Show, I want to hear your voice and I want you to show me these new things." I got to throw the message in here. It's so good. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert and be present. Is that a good word? Be alert and be present. What does be present mean? It means live right now. Be alert right now and be in your present. Don't be looking back and don't be wishing you were in heaven. Be present. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Can we just right now lift your hands again and say, "God, do something brand new in my life. Bring me into this new season." And if I'm in the winter season of death, of letting go, Lord, I promise you I'll not try to hold on to yesteryear. I'm going to let go of the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not going to allow anything to cling to me. And I will not cling to it. Today's English version, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing that I'm going to do. It's already happening. You can see it right now. God's saying to us, you can see it. You can grab it. You can begin to move toward it. One more. CJB. I think that's a common Jerusalem Bible. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. I'm doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? Oh, I've got to give you this word, Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Father, I thank you that here it is. Starting in verse 9, Isaiah 42, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Okay, now, that's been the message. That new things are coming. And he's declaring them, and do you not perceive them? But listen to verse 10. "Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea," and all that. It goes on to say that he's declaring that he wants to go forth as a mighty man of war in this hour. That's his name. God's doing a new thing, and he's saying to you, now get up and begin to sing a new song by faith. Begin to sing a new song by faith. Begin to position yourself in this place where you're walking with God in full step. Most of Israel could not do this. When God was trying to bring them in the promised land, it was either unbelief or covetousness that kept out all those people but two. Okay? Over the age of 20, only two made it in, Joshua and Caleb. And why did they make it in? Because they aligned themselves with the Word of God. And so this message today will be water on a duck's back for you if you don't purposely intend to get, pick up, and move over into that place in your heart and mind where God, your Lord, whether I live unto you. Whether I die unto you. You have a new season for me. You have new things for me. I say that you're greater. God, you are greater than all the excuses and reasons and failures and this and that that maybe have kept me where I am. I'm moving forward with you. Deuteronomy 1:6, you've been around this mountain long enough. And again, Young's translation says what? Enough. Get moving. Stand on your feet. Next week we'll go into Joshua and we'll take a look at 10 or 11 different steps. And this will be good. It won't be overwhelming for you, but it will be these steps that you know when you're doing these 11 things, 10 or 11 things, that you're moving into your new season. Okay? And one of them so big is the Word of God, is meditating day and night on the Word of God so you can be strong. Christians that don't read the Bible are not strong. And you got to be strong to go in and possess your possessions. You have to. These are some things the grace of God can't do for you. The grace of God has come to you, and He will inspire you, and He will motivate you, and He will stir you. But then you've got to take that step of faith and say, I will take these steps. Now, if you're not willing to take these steps, I do have to give you one word of caution. Deuteronomy 32:11, God says that I'll be like that eagle that stirreth up her nest and kicks her young out of the nest. So you know what the eagle does? Up high is the nest. And when it's time to fly, those eagles don't want to. They don't want to go into their new season. So what the eagle does, the mother eagle, begins to rip the nest apart. That means turning their little world upside down. Rips their home apart. And then kicks them out of the nest. And while they're, you know, falling to their clear death, that mother eagle will come down, catch them, take them back up and do it again. Why am I saying this? Is that God knows what He's got for you in your new season. And He, in His grace, is going to stir things up in your life. Okay? God is allowed to do this. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. You cannot stay where you are. You're not allowed to do that, by the way. Because God owns you. Number one, He bought you with a price. You belong to God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. You must move into this new season that God's got. And we'll talk about what that looks like next week. What the seasons of God look like. And how you know that you're moving in that. And things you can do to step into it. But I would just, again, go back as we close today. Isaiah 43:18-19. Consider not the former things, neither the things of old. Don't remember those. Don't get hung up on those. Behold, I do a new thing. Even now, it's springing forth. Can't you feel it, guys? How many of you say, I want to be on that train that's moving into the new territory? Oh, Father, we pray right now that we will not be stagnant in our faith, that we will not be deaf to your voice in the earth and blind to what you're doing. Open our hearts up. And Lord, may we say as Isaiah did in Isaiah 6, here we are, send us. Lord, we want, and so today, church family, let go of the past, the good things and the bad things. Put it under the blood and forget about it and move on. You haven't got time to be brooding over the past. You cannot waste another second looking backwards. Father, I thank you in this room today, our men and women are going to change this world. That we are world changers. That you've got such a new season for us. That the bitterness and the disappointments of yesterday, Lord, the pain of yesterday, Jesus put it like this, just like a mother in the labors of childbirth forgets all that pain the moment she sees her son. That new birth wiped out all the pain of the past. Guys, God's got a new birth. He's got a new thing. He's got a new song. He's got something of, He says, you're going to take the old out because of the new I'm bringing you. But Jesus also said, men will prefer when the new comes, men will prefer the old. They'll say this, the old's better. That's what Jesus said. That people will say, the old's better. No. Embrace this new season. You might not know how to get into there, but it says that Abraham, by faith, obeyed, went out, not knowing where he went, but he went in a direction. Repeat this prayer with me. Jesus, you are the head of the church. You are my Lord and Savior. I submit to you and to your Lordship. I throw behind my back all doubt and unbelief, all excuses. And I boldly say, I have the faith to take today. I am a mature son of God. I know my place, my position, my power, and my purpose. And I'm going to go forth in your kingdom of love, light, life, and liberty. And I'm going to build your kingdom. And I'm going to experience these new things for your glory, for my blessing, and the world's blessing. In Jesus' name.